Welcome to this podcast, produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is The Gift of Music for Fostering Connection and Joy and features Dr. Anne Micker-Watson in an interview with Dr. Petra Kern. Hello, I'm Dr. Petra Kern, the editor of the Imagine e-Journal. Welcome to Dr. Anne Micker-Watson. Thank you for joining me today on this Imagine podcast, and it's wonderful to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for including me. I'm excited.
To start, can you share, please, a bit about yourself and your connection to early childhood music therapy?
Of course. My mission as a music therapist has always been to focus on children. And in fact, I got an undergraduate degree in music education as well as music therapy so that I could always create a music therapy program within an organization that didn't have a music therapist. And I was able to do that twice in some large school systems in my community. So I walked in the door, hired as a music educator, and then over time, I was able to very easily convince them of the value of utilizing me as a music therapist and starting a music therapy program instead. So I've always loved both sides of that. As a music educator, I was often thinking of therapeutic goals for my music students. But as a music therapist, I valued the quality of the musical experience. I wanted that to have an integrity and not just function for the children that I serve. My most recent gig was as a music therapist in an early childhood special education program in a large school district in Kansas City, and absolutely loved that. Over time, began to do more of a coaching role with the early childhood professionals, our interdisciplinary team. So we had speech and language pathologists and teachers and occupational therapists that were all utilizing the activities and the songs and the supports that I was developing to help teach our targeted skills. I love the interdisciplinary aspect, and I love that we also began to share this set of resources with families so that it was truly a team that was working to benefit the young child, and started doing that work in around when I was around 42 years of age, and truly decided that that was what I wanted to be when I grew up. That was my passion, and that early childhood was the sweet spot for me in my career.
And I think we should also let the listener know about your program, because you have been so successful with this, and you have also been over the years an author of Imagine a couple of times and wrote about it. Please say a word about it.
I absolutely will. After I stopped working for a school district, I wanted other early childhood professionals across the country to have the opportunity to utilize the magic of music to help children with specific learning goals. So I developed a program called Sing, Play, Love, and it is essentially a birth to five curriculum that provides picture books that have song texts, and those song texts help children learn specific skills. We sing the songs, we read the books, we have words that we sign or movement that we add, we have visual supports with pictures and music videos. We even have instructional videos for the early childhood professionals so they can see how we would share these songs and experiences with kids. And then importantly, we have a program called Play and Learn, and that is sent home so that parents can be singing the songs and teaching the skills right along with us. I work with a variety of different organizations, so I serve parents as teachers and Head Start, organizations serving children with challenging behaviors, and then certainly organizations providing special education services for kids.
So, and your involvement of the parents of this resource brings us right into the topic of Imagine 2025. And we will put those resources into our podcast page so that our listeners can actually look at it. But why do you think involving parents in music therapy sessions with young children is so important?
Well, I know it sounds cliche, but parents truly are a child's first and best teacher. And I think we're really missing an opportunity if we don't involve them as partners in our music therapy interventions and then give them ways to take that home and to continue to share those interventions, those songs, those activities in that child's natural environment. So that I think increases the power of our intervention exponentially. And then I think we also can share through a strength-based approach, you know, that way that a child responds to music therapy when we're able to set that up and allow parents to see how beautiful that is for the child. And if it's the child's preferred activity, then we empower parents to share that as a preferred activity at home as well. So we're intentional about that collaboration, and I think that's very valuable.
So, in your experience, what are some of the most impactful ways parents can support their children's music therapy journey? And I remember you wrote actually the wisdom section at one point. Maybe you can give your top three or something like that, because I know you have a whole bag of tricks and wisdom to share.
I guess if I was to try and narrow my brain down to some essential experiences for parents and children, it would always have to do with routines. Children like to believe that they have some control in their lives over what happens. And so anytime that we can set up routines that are predictable and consistent for kids and share that with families, music is a wonderful tool for those routines. Making them the unique property of a family when they can make them their own. Adding a good morning song as you're waking a child, making sure that your favorite family lullaby is included after bath and bedtime at night. The sensory of all of that for children when you are holding a child close and you're singing a lullaby or you're reading a book and rocking. And the way your voice sounds is music to a child. They love the way you feel when you sing. And all of those experiences are really, really powerful. So, routines, using music as a transition. First, do this, and then we're going to sing your favorite song, or we'll sing your favorite story. So, all of those kinds of routines, I think, are easy to share. And then they can be embedded within the routines of a child's life, and that music can be a part of that family's culture.
Thank you for sharing this, Anne. And I think those are things which are actually easily come to parents and just need to be done intentionally and in the moment of the situation where it would be applied, right?
I agree. I agree. And I think we need to empower parents. I think, you know, we as music therapists don't realize that it's kind of an intimidating for parents to believe that, you know, when you sing with your beautiful voice, music therapist, that their voice is beautiful also, and their child's favorite voice, and that they can do music also in their own way and benefit the child tremendously.
So, can you share an example of a memorable moment where parents' involvement made a significant difference in a child's progress?
I will. Something I'm particularly interested in is the set of social emotional skills that kids develop. And one of the things that we're seeing post-pandemic, unfortunately, is that kids often are not able to self-calm, to find their way back to just right in terms of their emotional regulation. And they really need some help with that. And I am seeing those escalations that we so often have in preschool continue through kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and quite honestly, all the way up to the secondary level. So, what we're finding is that kids are being injured by peers, teachers are being injured by kids because they can't manage their feelings. And if there is one kindergarten readiness skill I wish that we could send home, it would be those. That ability to self-regulate, to self-calm. So I developed a calming kit that goes with one of my stories called Surprise Kid. And Surprise Kid is a superhero who can calm their body and calm the way they feel. So, as a part of the song, we sing the chorus and we sing it so many times that kids can sing it to themselves, and it really does help them regulate. With some colleagues, I developed another five strategies that we can offer to kids when they're in the calm to practice so that when they escalate and the storm will come with many kids, then you're able to offer those strategies in the form of a visual. And I want you to know that if you visit singplaylove.com, excuse me, that calming kit is waiting for you. It's there for anyone for free to download, and you can utilize that kit in your therapeutic goals with kids who struggle with emotional regulation. And I have heard so many stories from early childhood professionals and from parents how that set of tools has helped. So that's why I want to offer it to you as well.
Thank you, and it's very generous of you to make this available for free and certainly needed in our world right now.
Yes, we all need a few strategies, don't we?
Yes. But what are some challenges you have encountered with parent engagement in music therapy, and how have you worked to overcome them? You already mentioned maybe the anxiety of singing and providing music, but what comes to your mind here?
Of course. Well, and it dovetails well with what we were just talking about. When you are a parent of a child who is displaying extremely challenging behaviors, you are exhausted. You are frustrated. And so, for us to be able to approach that relationship again from a very strength-based approach, that's going to facilitate buy-in, giving them ways to solve problems that they're experiencing in their daily lives. How, if I do these things that you're asking me to do, music therapist, how is that going to help us in our daily lives with our child? And so I think that's important for them to see that connection. And I really do think we have such an advantage over other types of therapeutic interventions because if music is a preferred activity of a child, then they're going to see a much more joyful and engaged child when you're sharing those interventions. Quite honestly, you know, that generalization piece where you're doing a song in your session and you share it to home, it is so powerful and it is so satisfying to a child and a parent to be able to see that they can sing that song, they can talk about those skills and that information at home. And the child, it's pretty precious. The child will think it's such a magnificent coincidence that both mom and the music therapist know that song that they love so much. So sharing those songs to home and then setting them up for success in that environment is, I think, my very best advice for overcoming those challenges that the parents have that we may not even begin to know the depth of those in their own personal lives.
Let's talk about cultural values and traditions. How do they influence the way families engage with music therapy?
I always laugh at my musical upbringing because I was in a household where music was valued above all else, but I had limited exposure to. I didn't even know about the Beatles. My husband makes fun of me because I have no knowledge of bands of our generation. We sang folk songs at our house, and my parents played all of the LPs for show tunes. So that was extensively my musical repertoire growing up. We also made music. So both of my parents played guitar. I played the baritone ukulele and a mean tambourine, and we made music. And I think being able to share music that we can sing just a cappella, again, embedded in those routines in the day, and sing songs that are part of the culture, you know, that are in the home language and are embedded in home. I think those are incredibly important for those musical memories that we're going to have. And those are the songs we're going to, your children will sing to their own children. So, you know, honoring traditions is important. I have translated 12 of my books into Spanish, and I absolutely love to sing them in either language. I am a student of Spanish through eighth grade, but I can sing my songs in Spanish, and it's incredibly valuable to children whose home language is Spanish.
Good for you. And I think to add on, that is also speaking for the importance of doing good assessments to see what are the values and the traditions of the families to know actually if that family values folk tunes and show tunes
Show tunes.
or or hip
There
hop.
you go. You bet. Yeah, speaking the musical language of the family.
Right. We touched upon the next question a little bit, but maybe you can pinpoint a little bit more. So, what role does collaboration between the therapist and parents play in achieving the therapeutic goals?
Well, again, I'm always leading with that strength base, but I want the parents to know that I am their child's biggest fan. And I want to be able to share those positives of, oh my goodness, being able to share a video of that the child participating joyfully and fully in the music that we share, being able to talk about how they have such an amazing set of skills for music. And often there are children who that is their only skill, that splinter skill or that skill that manifests itself in a very positive way for a family. So being able to focus on that and then just extending that learning so that we're able to achieve that goal in the home as well, which I know sounds a little redundant, but my priority is always to help strengthen the connection between the child and the parent. And I feel like everything else flows from there. So if we're strengthening that connection through music, and sometimes that connection does not come easily or naturally for a parent, I think we just assume that all parents have this amazing set of skills to be able to really connect with their own child. And given autism or some other challenges, that can be hard. So that music becomes the modality for the connection. And then from there, if that's the foundation, then we build with our therapeutic goals on top of that strong foundation. So that's where I always start. And if I feel like after assessing that relationship that we can begin to build, then that's our next step.
And for parents who are unsure about their involvement, we talked about the hesitation before of maybe not seeing so well like the music therapists. But if they're unsure, should I be involved in the therapeutic process since I am a parent and not my child's therapist? What advice or encouragement would you offer?
Well, I honestly will say, your child loves your voice better than all others. They think you sing much better than Taylor Swift. They think that you are the best singer in the world. And then all of the sensory benefits we add to that with time spent on a rocking chair, and your chest resonates when you sing, and your child feels that, and it satisfies so many primal needs for that child. They like the way a parent smells. They like the way that they sound when they sing, that they look when you have them in your lap and you're singing a song face to face. And those are aspects that important relation, those are things that we can simulate, but we can't reproduce because we're not the parent. So again, with family routines, but just also with that intimacy that a parent can provide. There's no one that is better at sharing a song and having all of that sensory benefit to a young child simultaneously. And we know how foundational sensory experiences are for children. I will serve kids that I'll always think, gosh, they've kind of got hungry skin today. They need to be touched. They need undivided attention. They need affection. All of those pieces are again part of that foundation that parents can help us establish.
That's very important. Thank you for sharing this.
Yes.
You have been so long in the field, and so I guess you can talk a lot about where we came from the past. But looking ahead, what do you see as the future of parent involvement in music therapy? And are there any trends or innovations you are particularly excited about?
Well, yes, and I am a little hyper focused on this aspect right now, but I know that we are beginning to realize as a society that screen time may have played a part in kids struggling a bit with social emotional skills. Because when parents offer a device too frequently, then the child begins to have a set of experiences that are no longer play-based, but are more technology-based. And if a parent spends too much time focusing on their phone, then they're missing a lot of the natural language initiations of a young child. They're missing opportunities to connect and to strengthen that foundation that is that relationship. But I have partnered with Head Start and Parents as Teachers and a health organization here in Kansas City called Advent Health. And we are starting something called Just 10 Minutes. And what we aim to do is to give families replacement behaviors for screen time. And all we're asking is that they find 10 minutes each day to sing a song with their child, to read a book, to play a game, to take a walk, but to give their child 10 screen-free minutes of uninterrupted attention. And Just 10 Minutes, again, is a free resource that will be going live in April. And I'll be doing music and movement Mondays. So I will be sharing simple songs and finger plays and activities that are music-based that you can share with your families that help them learn how to utilize our beautiful power of music in their relationships and in their activities of daily living.
Finally, is there a particular piece of advice or message you would like to share with our listeners about the power of parent involvement in music therapy?
And I know I've said this, but I'm going to say it again. I believe above and beyond any specific learning goals or treatment outcomes we identify for children, it's that fundamental connection between parent and child that we want to foster whenever possible. Because from there, we prepare a child for learning and for all that we can bring as music therapists to the lives of the children we serve.
Thank you so much, Dr. Anne Meeker-Watson, for joining me and sharing your experience and your knowledge today. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
It is always a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Kern. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2025.